Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 33 of Podcast vs. Enemies, a Destiny Massive Breakdown show. It'll be a bit shorter of an episode this week, coming off our Marathon King's Fall special, as we just cover some weapon breakdowns back to our bread and butter. Today, we'll be getting into some of the new seasonal weapons, seeing what they have to offer, fit into our builds, or maybe even the overall meta. As always, I am joined by my fellow hosts, Court and Impetus. Court, I'll pass it over to you for some thank yous we want to mention before we jump into the episode.
Hello, hello. Yes, we do have one five-star review from Ms. Wrath, who says, amazing podcast. I've been playing since D2 day one and consistently playing endgame endeavors. As an everything PvE enjoyer, I love listening and learning all the new ways to do the same endgame stuff better or different. And yeah, five stars. Thank you for the review there. Also, a big thanks and shout out to the patrons and the various listeners on the Massive Breakdowns Discord server. Impetus put out a little message over the weekend, just talking about our previous episode, the King's Fall special. Lots of general and specific feedback regarding that episode. Just appreciate everyone that sent us all kinds of feedback. Of course, it does help with the trajectory of the show. And just as a reminder, you can send us all kinds of feedback directly to any of our socials or, of course, the Destiny Massive Breakdowns Discord server. Positive, critical, and constructive feedback helps with the trajectory, just with how we present and break down builds, activities, and lots more related to the PvE sandbox. Lots of kind of depth regarding our place in the Destiny community. Lots of things to talk about. I know some topics can be not applicable for some or not interesting, but I think we've got a nice, happy little balance for everyone to listen to. And of course, this episode's just going to be a classic episode of weapons breakdowns. As a little reminder, we do use Chartable to aggregate our podcast reviews, but this does take a little bit of time for non-US listeners. So if you don't hear us talk about you, just send it over to our various socials. Alternatively, you can send it over on the Discord server as well. We also want to extend a special thanks and appreciation to everyone that supports PvE, whether that is downloading and listening to our show, discussing it in the Discord server, or supporting us via Patreon. All right, Impetus, what are we up to this week?
Hello, folks. Yes, we are going to be covering the playlist weapons. That's going to be the core playlist. We're not going to be touching on the Nightfall weapons, the Trials weapons, or the Iron Banner weapons. We're going to save the GM stuff for when GM season comes a little bit later on. And then, of course, we're going to be talking about the World Loot Pool. That's going to be our Foundry weapons, doing a breakdown of those as well. Want to touch on some housekeeping and podcast updates just real quick. So in regards to something that we've kind of gotten some feedback on just recently, that is timestamps. So some folks have been asking whether or not we can do that, especially for our longer episodes like King's Fall, to use the most recent example. While we would want our episodes to be listened to in their entirety, we also do agree that due to the dense nature of what we cover, the PvE sandbox at large, that timestamping important sections should be available for those that want to skip to a section that they care about if they want to go back and re-listen to some of our recommendations, rather than, of course, having to go through the entire episode randomly. So moving forward, our plan here is to add timestamps to some topic dense or longer episodes. That's going to be generally anything beyond 60 minutes, just to make it easier to navigate. And then episodes that do have timestamps should have them listed in the episode description. Make that nice and easy for you guys to access. Finally, the shorter episodes likely won't get timestamps, as they normally encompass just one central topic, like, for example, what we're about to do. And then we also have no plans to add timestamps for each individual topic or weapon or breakdown. So this is mostly going to be used to just split sequences up. So that is our stance on timestamps. So you can look forward to those in the future. And then, of course, the King's Fall one should have it as well. I'm going to pass you back to Court to talk about something that we mentioned in the King's Fall episode regarding a certain fusion rifle.
Yeah, so it was Midas Reckoning. That was the weapon, one of the weapons that I was breaking down last episode, and it was to do with Reservoir Burst. I was approached by a few great community members over on the Massive Breakdowns Discord server, just with some corrections and just confirmations with how things interact with each other. So just as a sort of overview, at the top, all fusion rifles, all the archetypes cap out at 8 magazine. So you can't extend it beyond that, other than Runneth Over, which is the exception here. But for actual magazines, for backup mag, you cannot extend it beyond that. So Midas Reckoning has a base magazine of 5. This increases to 6 with Reservoir Burst because it always gives that +1 to the base magazine. This is, again, is increased by +2 with Ionized Battery. The Enhanced Battery increases it by 1. Backup mag increases the base magazine by +2. So again, it's no benefit if you're stacking with Ionized. And just a confirmation with some Runneth Over numbers here. Quickly rattle through some of these. So with no mag increase, just pure Reservoir Burst, you have base magazine of 6, so that's one shot of Reservoir Burst. With one ally, it's 7. With 2, it's 8. With 3, it's 8. With 4, it's 9. And 5, it's 9. So that 9 magazine with Runneth Over, you'll get 4 shots of Reservoir Burst. With Enhanced and Reservoir Burst, it's a little bit different. It's 7 base. So again, that's one shot of Reservoir Burst. For one ally, it's 8. 2, it's 9. 3, 10. 4, 10. And 5 allies is 11. So that's 5 shots of Reservoir Burst. With Ionized and Reservoir Burst, again, base is 8. One ally will give you 9. 2 is 10. 3 is 11. 4 is 12. And 5 is also 12. So again, just looking at the numbers here, you might be more inclined to go for the Ionized if you are doing a larger activity. And again, that is 5 shots for Reservoir Burst if you can get. Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's a nice little interesting combination. So to just really quickly recap here, if you're primarily in a 3-person activity, so you and 2 allies, you can go for any of the battery enhancements here, or even forgo a magazine, increasing magazine. So accelerated for faster charge time, or liquid for increased impact. You get the exact same reservoir burst shots at 3. If you're primarily in a 6-person activity, so that's you plus 5 allies, then you can go for enhanced or ionized and get the exact same reservoir burst shots at 5. Though ionized does have more forgiveness and provides the same reservoir burst shots with 4 allies. Don't bother with backup mag. Go for major or boss spec. Backup mag's a bit of a trap when it comes to these type of interactions. And I do want to once again highlight one of my arc builds does spec into using a area effect or powerful arc special weapon to synergize with the various arc 3.0 interactions, such as blind and spawning ionic traces and orbs of power. So Midas Reckoning is one of my recommendations if you do not have access to other great area of effect or control weapons like Forbearance or Salvager Salvo. And just as a final note, before we actually start the episode, is I want to thank Sam and Phaeton for the corrections, and Phaeton and Casper for doing some testing to confirm all of this great science stuff. And Saint, what are we talking about next?
Yeah, we're going to jump into our last week in Destiny. This is a bit of an uneventful one for me, honestly. I've been running some pinnacles to try to get my characters level up for Master Kingsfall challenges. All the playtesting, unfortunately, does not transfer over to the actual game, so I've been a bit behind this season, honestly, on just keeping up with my overall level and hitting 1580 pinnacles and all that stuff just because of time, which is a weird feeling. I was also out of town a bit this week for a wedding, so I'm going to be catching up on some raids, challenge, and some weekly story stuff tonight and tomorrow. Impetus, how about you, man?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you here. So I have moved across town this week, so I have had very little Destiny time as well. I have done this week's story, and I am looking forward to the coming weeks and all that's going to transpire with Eido, Mithrax, and Aramis. Things are heating up. I'm not quite sure what direction we're headed into, but it's getting exciting. So I do hope to lock down the rest of the crafting patterns for the seasonal weapons next week and then make some more progress on Kingsfall weapons, since I haven't been doing too many of those raids, and I really should be doing those for the Red Border chances. So yeah, looking forward to that. Kind of happy this season's a little bit longer, just so I have some of that forgiveness in the extra weeks to get back up there. But I should be on track for Grandmasters this time. I really do want to see if I can do all six Grandmasters the first week that they all drop, like Court did. I think it was last season. So that's going to be kind of the goal I'm working towards. Speaking of Court, what have you been doing this past week?
A little bit more than you guys. I've been doing the usual three times Kingsfall runs. Still no Touch of Malice. Just been helping out with other raids as well. I know we talked about last episode that Vow of the Disciple is this week's featured raid, so I've been in a few runs there. I did do a few attempts of the Master Totems Challenge, which is the first challenge for King's Fall. Finally did get it complete today, just a few hours before this when we're recording today's episode. It is a tough one to crack. It's not helped by the wonky Unstoppable Champions ones. They can be very frustrating. There's various strats out there. I think everyone's trying to get a feel of how things are best suited. But if you're aware, the two strats that I've been primarily featured in is the 3-3 strat, which is just normal. All players are running in a figure eight, as if you've done normal challenge. It's just very similar to that. Everyone's just moving between each side. And there's an alternative strat with the 2-2-2, which is two Aeon users finishing the Blight Guards up on the platforms, and then for each side, so left and right, there's two people each, and they are essentially running. We'll probably get into more details or topics regarding like master or challenge completions, but the actual strat that I managed to complete it one in was 2-2-2. I was one of the Aeon finishers, and just it is a tough one to crack. I think next week, which is War Priest, might be an even tougher one to crack with the type of challenge it is. But this one, just with the janky Unstoppable Champions, can really throw a wrench into the machine here. So I do want to shout out everyone in all the runs that I did participate in. I did get myself a Harold Midas Reckoning with Enhanced Battery and Backup Plan and Reservoir Burst, but sadly won't be really using it, just with the nature of Adept raid weapons. They're not really compatible, they're not really suitable when you've got stuff like Enhanced Perks and being able to just go and craft whatever you want for a raid weapon. So I know we'll probably get into a discussion point about master loot and adept weapons for raids sometime in the future. That was our busy schedule, our schedule in the last week in Destiny. What are we talking about for this week then, Saint?
Yeah, we are going to be jumping into those weapons, and I'm going to be starting off here with our Vanguard weapon for the season, and that is Pure Poetry. This is an aggressive frame hand cannon, 120 RPM kinetic. It's got that high damage, high recoil, and optimization for long range. This is Hake Breach armaments as well as your Vanguard's Vindication, so extra damage against vehicles, constructs, or plus 7 points of health on each kill. This has, honestly, pretty good stats, and it's pretty competitive given its competition. It has 53 range, which is pretty low. That's tied with Loud Lullaby. It has 23 stability, which is second only to Steady Hand, even though seeming very low. 26 reload, which is best in class. 95 recoil direction, second to Crimmels and Lullaby, which have 98. And then 26 handling, which is second to True Prophecy. It's got four competitors, Steady Hand, True Prophecy, Lao Lullaby, Crimmels Dagger, and, you know, again, Pure Poetry manages to hold its own here in stats, kind of a comfortable second to the tied first between Steady Hand and True Prophecy, I would say. When we look at, like, the barrels and mags, I'm probably going to pick Fluted for that plus 15 handling and 5 stability. Just really low base handling of 26, even though it's second highest in class, is going to need some help. And then Appended Mag for the plus 2 without any negation to my reload speed is going to be big there. It brings the mag up to 10 shots total from a base of 8, which is pretty low. I mean, it's consistent for the class, but is just not enough bullets. When we get into our major trait columns here, in the third column, we've got Ambitious Assassin, Perpetual Motion, Ensemble, or Well-Rounded. Just all kind of looking to bump up our stats here for the most part on the base of the weapon. And then in the fourth column for our damage and some utility perks, we have Frenzy, Rampage, Swashbuckler, and Osmosis. Pretty good selection here. When I think about just the last touches here for Masterwork or a mod, definitely a minor spec. And then probably a stability or range, kind of depending on where my rolls are going here. And the two that I'm really looking for, number one, just kind of your workhorse weapon, I would say is Ensemble and Frenzy. This is giving you a lot of stat boosts if you're within 15 meters of an ally. Ensemble will bring you up to 71 handling and 66 reload, which are both pretty good. And then when Frenzy kicks in, those would both be maxed out at 100, which, considering where this weapon is starting out at, that is going to be a massive difference, and also give you a 15% damage buff, which is good. It's going to be a really consistent weapon. And then you also have the running gun, maybe a little more potential here. Perpetual Motion is going to give, it's also going to give stability as well as handling and reload. So you have, you know, maybe at two times, you're going to end up at 43 stability, 56 handling, and 41 reload. So not nearly as good. If you're really concerned about the stability and that's something you really want to lean into, then I can see why you would pick that over Ensemble. But honestly, I'm probably going to pick the former. And then Rampage is just going to be a really solid perk for a weapon that has pretty decent high base damage like this and just needs a little bit of help. And I'm also recommending this partially because of that Rampage spec slash Rampage, you know, buff that is coming up. This, you know, it's not a very strong weapon in the PvE sandbox, I think, just because of the nature of its archetype. But, you know, if you're working with something like Ensemble and Frenzy and you have a couple of its stats maxed all the way out and you get a decent masterwork, this does have the potential to be a very good-feeling weapon, although I am going to be hard-pressed to use this in one of, you know, kind of a PvE scenario over something with a explosive or timed payload, just because I have such a preference for that really high uptime, lower damage buff type of a perk, and also the other effects that give. But, you know, if you don't have a good hand cannon and you're looking for one, pick up one of these guys with a Frenzy or Rampage. Could be a pretty good workhorse type of weapon, especially for some kind of hand cannon champion mod and that extra little bit of health that it is giving you. Next up, we're going to Gambit. Emphasis, what's going on over there this season?
So Gambit got a pretty pretty exciting weapon this season. We have ourselves a Void Adaptive Frame Pulse Rifle called Yesteryear. So Adaptive Frame is 390 RPM. The frame bonus there is just it has a pretty decent stat package, nothing special beyond that. This can also toggle between two origin traits. So we have the Gambit one, which is now Gun and Run. Rapidly defeating targets with this weapon grants bonus sprint speed, obviously pretty nice in Gambit, but also useful in other areas of the PvE sandbox. For all of you playing with ARK 3.0, you're going to be very familiar with this feeling. And then the second one is going to be Suro's Synergy that will, after a reload, grant the weapon 36 handling and 20% flinch resistance for 6 seconds. So, you know, definitely helpful in PvE, but probably matters a little bit more in the PvP side of things. Let's take a look at the stats here. Kind of surprising. Actually, before I get into the stats, I should bring to your attention what we're looking at when we talk about Void Pulse Rifles. I want to do a bit of a better job here talking about the competition. So in slot here, there are four Void Pulse Rifles that are not Sunset. Last Perdition is the closest competition to Yesteryear. That is our other Void Adaptive Frame. We have Premonition, that is dropping from Pit of Heresy, and then Grid Skipper. Grid Skipper is only dropping from Xur on the weekends, so your chances of getting a good roll of that are going to be very low if you missed out on Season of the Splicer. I believe Last Perdition does drop from Banshee. I haven't seen him sell it in quite some time, but I know that he can drop it because I did have a roll from him that I deleted after I got it Yesteryear. Premonition, of course, being a high impact frame, does have some pretty good PvE rolls. I think it's the middle encounter of Pit of Heresy that it drops from, but I could be wrong on that. Yesteryear, of course, dropping from Gambit, like Candy, but it does have a much larger perk pool. So if we take a look at our stats here, how does it compare to the other adaptive frame pulse rifles? It sits at 43 range. That is pretty middling here compared to the other ones, a few higher, a few lower. 48 stability is second lowest. 42 handling is, again, middle of the road. And then 42 reload speed is going to be the second highest. We are sitting at a 50 recoil direction, so just bear that in mind. I will talk about that a little bit more when we get to the barrels, but again, pretty middle of the road statistically, but there are some very exciting options in the perk pool that, in my mind, do make up for that. So moving on to our perks here, we're going to start with the barrels. For me, that recoil direction of 50 needs to be addressed, so I am looking at Arrowhead Break to take me up to 80, Chambered Compensator takes you up to 60, You could certainly do Extended Barrel if you want to hurt the handling, take that down to 32. Again, that will take the recoil direction up to 60 as well, but that's going to be a distant third from me. I would probably maybe only consider Extended Barrel if I wanted to take this into PvP instead of PvE. So Arrowhead Break and Chambered are going to be my two recommendations, and then I have slapped on a Counterbalance stock for my mod choice on top of those, just to get mine as high as possible. So Counterbalance and Arrowhead Break will take you up to 95 recoil direction. Chambered Compensator will sit you at 75 with Counterbalance. So again, play around, see what feels right for you, figure out if you need that. If you don't feel like you need to boost up the recoil direction, Fluted Barrel will boost that handling up quite nice. You could also go for Small Bore if you wanted to touch the range up a little bit. On the magazine side, we have the three rounds. Those are always going to be recommendations. That's armor-piercing rounds, high caliber, and ricochet rounds. Ricochet, of course, giving you that range and stability bump. That's going to be very, very nice. You also have light mag and flared magwell for bumps to the reload speed. Always a good option in my book. And then the last thing I'd recommend is appended mag if you want to get your magazine up from a base of 35 to 41. So a lot of options here. Basically, I'm going to recommend everything in the mag column except for extended mag and alloy, as I don't feel like those are quite necessary. All right, moving on to our big boy perks. So in columns 3, a lot of really solid options for PvE. Ensemble's great. Ambitious Assassin has just been reworked. Subsistence is solid in low-end PvE content. Outlaw, again, pretty basic perk, but it does pair with a very exciting option in column 4. And then Perpetual Motion, of course, is just going to be very nice for your general moving about if you want to pair that, especially with the run-and-gun origin trait. Columns 4, this is where we get into the really good stuff. So start things off here right at the top. We have Golden Tricorn. That's going to pair wonderfully with Void 3.0. Another Void 3.0 perk that's going to pair wonderfully is going to be Repulsor Brace, giving you that overshield 45 hit HP for 8 seconds. So if you are playing on Void Hunter, playing on Void Warlock, definitely take advantage of this. That can be very useful. And then finally, the big surprise here, Desperado, showing up for the first time on a pulse rifle that is not a high impact. So this is very exciting here. I have gotten a Desperado, an Outlaw Desperado roll of Yesteryear already. I've played around with it. It feels fantastic. I definitely do recommend it if you haven't been able to get a Desperado pulse rifle before. They have definitely been in some of the more elite forms of content. Go play a bunch of Gambit. So that's going to be certainly one of my build recommendations. But I do want to circle back around to Golden Tricorn real quick. So when we think about potential builds for Yesteryear, if you're looking for a Void Synergy build, I think Gold Tricorn is going to be really solid, especially for that higher level content where your primary weapons do feel quite weak. So that 50% damage buff after you get a kill with a Void Melee or a Void Grenade is going to be really, really noticeable and should help you out in slaying minor and major enemies in Grandmasters, for example. You could also go Repulsor Brace. Again, Void Hunters and Void Warlocks looking to take advantage of an Overshield if you happen to be in solo content. That is going to be really solid. Now, what to pair with these two options, especially in Column 3? I have looked for Ambitious Assassin. The extra bullets are especially noticeable with Golden Tricorn once you start getting that souped-up damage slaying out on minor enemies. You can get a lot of bullets back in the magazine, really help out. Same thing with Repulsor Brace. It's always great to have an extra large round in the chamber, so that's going to be my option here. But again, Perpetual Motion would be an excellent thing to pair with, especially if you're moving about from place to place. So that's going to be kind of the Void Synergy build. If you're just looking for a general Slayer build, Outlaw Desperado. That is going to gun down everything in Legend difficulty content and blow. It's going to feel fun just spitting bullets out at all your enemies. So those are the two builds that I'm thinking about when I look at this weapon, and those are the two builds that I'm going to recommend for yesteryear. Now I'm going to pass you off to Court for our Crucible weapon.
Yeah, we have another really hot pick for Crucible. Last season we had Riptide. This season we have Out of Bounds, which is the Arc Lightweight SMG. That is a 900 RPM. The frame bonus is superb handling. Move faster with this equipped. So technically that means passively grants plus 20 mobility, and it grants 6.25% forward movement speed. So that's to put that in perspective, that is half the speed of Arc's speed booster. So this doesn't stack with that because the maximum is 12.5%. That's the maximum amount of forward movement speed that you can get. This is a Crucible weapon, but it is also an Omalon, so you can swap between Omalon Fluid Dynamics, which is this weapon has increased reload speed and stability for the top half of the magazine. So technically that is up to plus 20 stability and up to plus 30 reload, and that bonus scales down as the magazine gets lower. So this does have a base magazine of 36, so any number between 18 and 36, and you'll get a slight bump in stability and reload. You also get the Crucible origin trait, which is one quiet moment, grants increased reload speed when out of combat, so that's plus 40 reload while you're out of combat. So lots of reload perks here, if you're so inclined, with the origin traits. We're going to take a little kind of look at the competition. The only other Arc 900 RPM is Stochastic Variable. That is SMG, similar design, also an Omalon, an old Omalon, so it doesn't have an origin trait. That's back from Splicer, just a few seasons before they started adding origin traits to these weapons. But we'll also compare with Funnel Web, which is maybe its main competition. It's the Void 900 RPM. And we also have Death Adder, which is quite an old one. Again, it's a solar variant. Stats-wise, it's 32 range, third. Funnel Web is going to be the big stat monster here with all of these stats. Stochastic does have that plus one edge over Out of Bounds. 43 stability, again, that's second, pretty just one less than Funnel Web. 67 handling, again, this is a lightweight SMG, so it has that spiked handling. Funnel Web has an even higher at 70. 28 reload, again, Funnel Web 31. If you value aim assistance, 55, joint best with Death Adder. 14 zoom, again, joint best with Funnel Web and Stochastic, and 95 recoil direction. So joint second, Death Adder has 96. So omitting Funnel Web, because that is the go-to for your energy, your void energy weapon, you do have a pretty solid weapon stats-wise. You can play into the Omalon origin trait or the Crucible origin trait. They both work everywhere. It's not just PvP. Death Adder and Stochastic, obviously, they don't have any origin traits or access to them. So for the highlighted barrels and magazines here, you've got quite a choice here. I think anything that provides handling's maybe not the way to go, because again, you do have that spite handling on these lightweight weapons. You could go fluted, which is that plus 5 stability, but it does give you plus 15 handling. Small bore is that plus 7 stability and range, or corkscrew, which is plus 5 stability, range, and handling. Polygonal can be a play here if you value stability. That is plus 10. I'd be inclined to go with small bore, just because Out of Bounds already has tremendous native handling, but if you value stability, then polygonal is your go-to. For the magazine, or well, some of these perks, probably not the best to call it magazine. It's more that the bullets are doing something additional. Two of which I'm going to list off is high cal rounds, which gives that increased flinch and plus 5 range, and ricochet rounds, which is plus 5 range and plus 10 stability. Plus the ricochet does ricochet off hard surfaces. For the big boy perks, we do have quite a very smorgasbord of perks here. Some really top picks. I've got a few builds that I'll list off very shortly, but for column 3 we have Demolitionist. It's a very solid perk in column 3. We have Subsistence, Grave Robbers there as well, Perpetual Motion, and Threat Detector. For column 4, as Impetus was saying, Golden Tricorn is a really solid perk to pair with your specific loadouts. For this one, it's obviously going to be Arc. Swashbuckler is here, Adrenaline Junkie, and Surrounded. Before we talk about builds, I'll just talk about the Masterwork and the recommended weapon mod. For the Masterwork, again, it's a toss-up between what you value more. Do you want more range, or do you want more stability? It's entirely up to you. And for the weapon mod, it's Minor Spec. So four builds I have here. I'll start from the bottom and go up. We have Threat Detector and Surrounded. That's your melee and close quarter builds. You can sort of pivot into Grave Robber and Swashbuckler, which is another melee type of build. For another build, you can go for Demolitionist and Adrenaline Junkie, which is your classic combo. Very great combination, Demo and Adrenaline Junkie, just to get that really juiced up weapon damage. Goes up to 33.3% with the with Adrenaline Junkie. Demolitionist can obviously feed into that. It's a great synergy. But I think the one that I'm likely going to go is Demo and Golden Tricorn. Golden Tricorn, as Impetus was listing off, 15% damage as a base. Once you get that second stack, you can get 50%, and that's solid for SMG. Arc does have some really great grenades as well, for all subclasses. They have access to them. I know Titans can enhance some of those grenades as well. So if you want to go for that direction, you can go down the direction of powered melees. I know most of our classes have great arc powered melees. So really solid SMG. It's another juicer for the Crucible, for us PvE heads here. We're going to have to do a little bit of farming in the Crucible playlist to get Out of Bounds. I am looking forward to getting a nice Demo and Golden Tricorn roll here. Next up, I am going to cover, probably very briefly, it's one of our four Foundry weapons, and it's the Boudicca C. Now, this is the Kinetic Precision sidearm that is a 260 RPM, and that's a single shot. Where you're going to get this is either a whirl drop, or you can focus it at the star chart on the Hacky Umbral Engram. It's not craftable as well. So, Kinetic Precision sidearm, this weapon's recoil pattern is more predictably vertical. It does have access to that Hacky weapon's Hacky Breach Armament's origin trait. As Saint listed it earlier on, this weapon deals increased damage against vehicles, turrets, barricades, and stasis crystals. The technical version of that is damage buff to the Construct subfamily of combatants, and that's 15% to vehicles and 30% to turrets, sentries, and emplacements. I do have a big Hacky Breach Armaments breakdown post on Reddit if you want to, if you feel inclined in reading a big block of text. but for a sidearm, I'm not really convinced with you know, you're not going to have much synergy. I can see this being a lot more useful in the PvP side of things with Hacky Breach Armaments, you know, going up against Titan Barricades. But for PvE, I don't think I'm going to be pulling out my sidearm to shoot at a massive Goliath tank. So we're going to do a quick comparison here. It's very old weapons. We're comparing it with Enigma's Draw and Lonesome. Both only really available through Xur or Gunsmith. So Boudicca pretty much has the edge in all departments. It's got 63 range, 43 stability, 33 handling, 25 reload, 85 aim assistance, which is actually one less than the other two, and 98 recoil direction. So it's really juiced up in its stats. And obviously those old weapons don't have access to any origin traits. So if you do plan to use this against constructs and vehicles, then be my guest. For highlighted barrels and magazines, I'm going to go for either Corkscrew, which is that plus 5 to stability, range, and handling. Hammerforge Rifling, which is that plus 10 to range. Small Bore, which again, that's plus 7 stability and range. I think the best option here would be to squeeze the range up. It already has pretty decent range. It's 63. But you can go for stability or handling if you are so desired. For the magazine, again, either Ricochet or Armor Piercing are probably your best bets, just to kind of ramp up the specific damage to a specific type of enemy. For the main perks, with this being a sidearm, you're going to be a little bit more closer. If you're bringing this out, you can combo this with Threat Detector or Pugilist. It does have stats for all. And for the Column 4 perks, we've got Swashbuckler. Again, another kind of melee-type perk. One for all is here. Surrounded, Frenzy, and Osmosis. It's an interesting perk to have here. Masterwork, free pick. Whatever you want to spec into. And for the weapon mod, again, free pick, probably minor spec if you so choose. Three builds here again. I'm not, you know, this podcast has not been, we don't hide our feelings towards sidearms. I think we had some big pros and big praise for the latest seasonal sidearm, and that's Brigand's Law, but that has Volt Shot, and it makes big difference when you have a very solid perk like that, a sandbox perk. But for this, Threat Detector, Pugilist, plus Swashbuckler, or Surrounded, that's your sort of typical melee type build. You can really spec into that and get that damage up. You do have Sofa here if you want to do that stats for all and one for all build. And for the third build, you could try and get Osmosis. If we don't have a lot of Osmosis weapons, and it's very rare that a hacky weapon, which is all about kinetic and, you know, that sort of classic modern in the sense of where we are in real life, we're not, hacky doesn't do, you know, elemental weapons with the exception of the title. So you could use Osmosis with a free column 3 perk just to get that rare elemental hacky weapon. Yeah, like I said, we're not big strong believers in sidearms unless it's an exotic or it's a Volt Shot sidearm. So I don't have much else to say about Boudicca C, but yeah, let us know if you have any builds that you're going to recommend if you're going to pair Boudicca in your various PvE endeavors. Saint, what have we got for the Suros Foundry?
For Suros this season, we have the Pizzicato 22. This is an adaptive frame kinetic SMG, which is an archetype that we have rarely seen in the recent years of Destiny 2. So to clarify, this is a 900 RPM SMG, but it's not exactly the same as the lightweights. So the frame bonus instead just says well-rounded grip, reliable, and sturdy. And we'll kind of see how that impacts the stats versus the lightweights in a second. But some important notes here are the differences in the damage. So it kind of boils down to the fact that the adaptives will deal about 9% better body shot damage, but about 11 or 12% worse crit damage. And this has to do with the fact that the crit multiplier for an adaptive SMG is around 1.35 versus the crit multiplier for a lightweight SMG, which is out 1.65 or 1.55, I think. So it's a kind of the thing where it's a little more forgiving, but it ultimately has a little less damage potential depending on how you want to look at the outputs there. And, you know, as we take a look at how this compares to the stats, it really doesn't have any non-sunset competitors right now. So I figured we compare it to a couple lightweight SMGs. Basically, we are going to be looking at submission is kind of like its go-to competitor right now that is very popular in the game, very consistent to be seen. Off the bat, it has 20 impact versus 15 for the lightweights, and that's where you can kind of see that those damage numbers that we were just talking about coming into play in the game. It has 43 range, which is quite high. When we're looking at lightweights, you know, that's going to be around 25 to 30 typically for a kinetic lightweight. 50 stability, again, pretty high there. I believe submission, yeah, is around 40. 60 handling is a little lower than you would get in your lightweights. And also the last stat I want to note here is that it has 14 zoom versus 15 on submission, which is a little bit out of the ordinary, but is something to keep in mind. We're talking about the ending comparison range. So overall, the adaptives are going to tend to have a better stat package, maybe a little more forgiving, easier to use, but not quite the same max damage potential. So some balance there. Whenever we get into the barrels and mags, I am probably going to be looking for extended barrel. This is going to take 10 of my handling off, which we'll be getting back later on, but it's going to give me 10 range, and it's also going to give me 10 to my recoil direction, which is going to bring that all the way up to 100. Really nice consistency, hitting lots of crits. For my mag, or rounds rather, I'm probably going armor piercing, high cal, or ricochet, depending on what I can get. Ideally ricochet if I could make my choice for the +5 to range and +10 to stability. Whenever we get into the main trait columns, it's not exactly the most stacked up SMG ever. This is not a playlist weapon, so it does have a little bit of a smaller pool. And it is also worth mentioning, I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning, that this can be focused with the Suros engrams at the star chart, the seasonal activity. So you do have a pretty good method of focusing roles for this weapon if it is something in your arsenal, you're not in a rating, you don't have a good submission. This could be a good replacement there. So getting into the main traits here, you know, we got Ensemble, Perpetual Motion, Ambitious Assassin, and also Mulligan in the third column. But I think Mulligan is bait because this is actually a very stable, very accurate weapon. So Mulligan sounds really interesting in a primary because it's like a 1 in 3 chance that you get the bullet back, which is, you know, that's great, that's fun. But on a weapon like this that's already so accurate and so stable, why... I don't know about that. I don't think that's bait right there. So we're not going to be going for that. But in the fourth column, we do have some pretty good choices. On the damage side, you got Swashbuckler and Multi-Kill Clip, which is one that I usually wouldn't recommend for PvE. And then on the utility side there, we have Demo and Osmosis, which are some interesting picks. For my Masterwork, I'm probably picking Range just because if you spec in a range a little bit here with the roll that I've been talking about, you can bring that effective up from about 17 to about 20. Nice, you know, a few 3 meters, which never hurt anybody. And the weapon already has such good stats otherwise that, you know, we might as well take the original massive breakdown strat of max out range and then work backwards as we need to. Whenever we are talking about builds, Ensemble in Multi-Kill Clip is one that comes to mind, and this is interesting because, yeah, this is really not something that I would recommend in PvE very often, but I really do want a damage-increasing perk on this, and this can ramp up all the way to 50% if you get 3 kills before. This is going to be a really fun role to use in slightly lower-end content, not necessarily Master, Grandmaster content, anything like that. You're just not going to be proccing more than Multi-Kill Clip times 1 in any really difficult content. So very fun role to use and definitely something different for a PvE. It's kind of a thing that you could take in between the Crucible or, you know, Strikes and whatever. Ensemble Multi-Kill Clip is never going to be a bad one or you know, kind of never caught off guard, whatever your activity you're using this in. My preferred role for this one, the one that I am going to be trying to focus for, is little prep in your step, perpetual motion, and swashbuckler. This archetype really does need that damage buff to be competing with its lightweight brethren, if you will. And I think that this would go really nice with some kind of melee-focused build. You guys know that I'm a Titan main, so I'm always messing around with different melee-focused builds. And something like the perpetual motion in ensemble with a swashbuckler is going to be just a really nice feeling weapon that's bringing my handling back up to 80 and my reload back up to 90 if I am proccing ensemble, and then swash up to that 33%, which I can sack up real quick with my melee kills. So that is something that I would consider using a little harder in content, PvE wise. I'm still very partial to my submission with Frenzy, but I can definitely see a space for this in kind of your melee builds. Again, especially if you're somebody that is newer to the game or you just have not been into raiding, then I think this is a pretty good SMG. I'll be focusing a little bit. I'm not going to go crazy on it, but I'll focus a few Surus engrams, see how it turns out. I'm sure I'll get some that are good for the Crucible, good for the Strikes and Nightfalls or otherwise. Next up, we got a pretty stacked up perk pool on this thing. Impetus, what are we talking about?
Yes, we are paying a visit to the Amalon Foundry. We have the Amet AR-2. That is a solar precision frame auto rifle. This is craftable. I'm going to point you towards the relic over on Mars. Go down there. There is a quest that will give you the two recipes that you need. That is the two red borders that you need to craft this. So follow the steps there. You'll also get another weapon from that quest that we'll talk about in just a moment, but this is craftable, so, and that is fantastic because it has some very, very good perks. When we look at the 450s, there are not a lot out in the energy slot. It is just the number and shadow price, both of which are no longer obtainable, and both of which are ARC. So when we look at the stats there for those, and how they stack up to Amet. Amet has 61 range, that's middle of the road there. It has 45 stability, that is highest in slot. Has 46 handling, also highest in slot. And then 38 reload speed is going to be middling as well. When we look at the solar auto rifles, again, not too much competition. Arctic Haze, Chrysura Mellow, I don't really think have aged well, especially since they don't have origin traits. We do have the Summoner, that is our Solar 600 auto rifle, no longer acquirable, did have an adept version from Trials. If you got a good roll of that, we did break it down in a previous episode. That did have some pretty phenomenal perks and was very viable in PvE as well as PvP. However, Amet still does have a few things. So it has the Amalon Fluid Dynamics origin trait, that is its one and only origin trait, extra stability and reload. Very useful in PvE, especially if you're taking fire. Auto rifles do kind of get flinched pretty badly. So actually pretty useful to have Amalon Fluid Dynamics in PvE for this. When we move over to the barrels and magazine, the two barrels I'm going to recommend right now are going to be fluted to help with the handling and stability, and then either small bore or corkscrew if you want a few extra bumps to some other stats, just depending on what you want to play with here. Again, my magazine stuff is going to be the same recommendations as I made before. Really, anything but extended mag and alloy mag. We have the three rounds. Those are fantastic options. Flared mag well, and light mag if you want to get that reload speed up. And then appended mag if you want a few more bullets. If the stats still aren't to your liking, don't worry. There is a perk we can use in column 3, which I'll jump to now. That is going to be stats for all. You can bump up some more stats just by hitting three separate targets. We also have triple tap and ambitious assassin in column 3, also very useful. In column 4, this is where things really ramp up here in a great way. One for all, adaptive munitions, incandescent, and adrenaline junkie, all present on this weapon. Exciting, very useful, a lot of different ways we could take this. For the masterwork and weapon mod masterwork, honestly, if you want to go for any one stat in particular, do it. I don't think I'm, you know, maybe reload speed, maybe handling, maybe stability are the ones. I don't think this thing needs more range necessarily, but really personal preference here for the masterwork. On the mod side, I'm probably just going to slap on Minor Spec and call it a day, or maybe backup mag, depending on what I feel like, depending on what perks I have. So let's get into the builds here for the Ahmet AR4. My GM slash general endgame build, probably going to be stats for all, and then either one for all or adaptive munitions if you are looking to have kind of some shield prep in your weapon here. We do have anti-barrier auto rifle this season. That can be very useful, especially if you have another weapon in your kinetic slot and you can't run Arbalest. ARs can be very useful here, so an adaptive munitions Ahmet would be very useful for covering your arc and void shields in addition to the solar ones. And then if you are looking to tie into your solar 3.0 synergy, I think the best bet here is going to be Ambitious Assassin and Incandescent for setting everything on fire and getting a bunch of bullets back in the mag after you reload. Very useful, very fun to play with, and overall very PvE-ready weapon, as is our Vice weapon. Court, what are we talking about for the Vice Foundry this season?
Yeah, we have the Taipan 4FR. And as Impetus was saying there, this is another craftable weapon. It is guaranteed via the Relic Quest. Alternatively, you can get it as a World Drop, or you can focus it in the Vice Umbral Engram Focusing at the Star Chart. So just a little kind of reminder what Vice Stinger, the origin trait, is. Damaging an enemy with this weapon has a small chance to reload the magazine and increase movement speed while aiming down sights. Bows receive faster draw speed and swords receive faster charge rate while this perk is active. So technically, we don't have a lot of data around this because it's all about random chance. So it's just have a chance to refresh your magazine. And this does vary on different weapons and archetypes. For the Vice or for Taipan, you should be getting it to proc one, maybe two times, just really depending on your perk setup, which we'll get onto very shortly. So Taipan is the Void Precision Linear Fusion Rifle. That is a 5.33 charge time, and it's single firing. So this the actual frame bonus for this weapon's recoil pattern is more particularly vertical, and that's the same across the board, with the exception of the
Storm Chaser?
It's the Storm Chaser, that's it. Yes, thank you. Quite a lot of competition here. LFRs are quite high up in the meta. So we are comparing it with quite a few options. We have the old Void Threaded Needle. We also have Tarantula, Cataclysmic, and Reach Regret. For the stats here, 48 range, which is second highest. Tarantula actually has the highest, Tarantula being quite an older style arc weapon. For the stability, it's 43, it's the fourth highest. Cataclysmic and Reeds have 48, Readied has 47. Handling, it is the best in slot, though best considering it's 36 handling. We have reload speed, again it's best in slot at 29. If you value aim assistance, 64, that's third highest behind Cataclysmic and Reeds at 66. And recoil direction is 69, which is second lowest. For the highlighted barrels and magazines, now this is quite important, at least for the battery, I should say. For the barrels, I think fluted barrel is your sort of best go-to option. That does give that plus five stability and plus 15 handling, just to really bump up that handling stat. For the battery, now there's been a lot of talk with what's the best to use here. A lot of testing over in the Massive Breakdowns Discord server. So a lot of the sort of sourcing of this is from there. And Enhanced does provide that one shot. It does provide one shot room for error with triple tap. Or you could go accelerated to slightly increase the DPS, but does slightly reduce the actual total damage. I think Enhanced is better of the two because you theoretically do have another opportunity to proc Vice Stinger. I wouldn't bother with Ionize because it provides the exact same ammo bump as Enhanced for a lot of the third-party sites like Dim, Light.gg and D2 Gunsmith. It does show it as plus 7, but that's not the case when you actually craft it in-game. It only goes up to plus, or the magazine goes up to 6. For the actual perks here, we do have some really juicy perks in all column 3 and 4. We have Ensemble, Triple Tap, Field Prep, and Clown Cartridge. And for the damage perks, we've got Focus Fury, Frenzy, and Firing Line. For the Masterwork, you're going to go for Charge Time. The loss in damage is present, but it's pretty small for LFRs compared to fusion rifles. Charge time is always a sort of go-to for LFRs, just to really tighten up the charge rate. For the weapon mod, boss spec, we're not going to go for backup mag. It's not an option here. It doesn't provide much of a gain over the spec mods. It is a trap mod slot. Some people may advise going for accelerated and go for backup mag. We are not going to suggest that. Lots of testing has been performed. From an overview perspective, backup mag may appear to be a better option here, but it's really not. Boss spec will have the edge all the time when you're doing DPS and you're doing damage. It does also have some weird interaction with some of the batteries and how it reduces the total reserves count. So if you do apply backup mag, you will not have as much reserve ammunition than if you didn't have backup mag. So don't bother with backup mag, go for boss spec, or if you're using this for champions, go for major spec. So two builds here, one solo and one sort of group. The solo, or the small group, we have Field Prep or Triple Tap and Frenzy. For Grandmasters, Firing Line can be a little bit of a trap. If you're playing really well, if you're teaming up and keeping close, you could go Firing Line, but I think Frenzy is really just the ultimate go-to when it comes to solo play. It's just a solid 15%, plus you've got that faster reload speed and 50 handling and 50 reload speed. So always procs as well. It's a passive perk in the background. So if you can use Firing Line in these Grandmaster, or obviously you won't be able to use it in solo, but for Grandmasters, I wouldn't really recommend it personally. It's there, but Frenzy's also there, just as a more consistent perk. Consistency is more of a keyword for Grandmasters. On the other hand, when it comes to, you know, raids, when it comes to much larger activities, you're going to go for the really classic combination here, and that's Triple Tap and Firing Line. Again, when you think of King's Fall, you think of Vow of Disciple, you're going to be standing near a lot of players, so Firing Line is naturally the better option. And just a reminder that it's 20% increase to precision damage, and you have to be near two or more allies. So, commentary here. Essentially, Taipan is almost the exact same as Reach Regret, just in terms of DPS and damage. So it's really a toss-up with what you want to utilize. Stasis does have great utility, and you can easily spawn and synergize with elemental wells, for example, using elemental shards to turn those shards into wells to get that Font of Might. So you may have slight edge if you plan to spec into high damage builds, but it's also doable for Void 2. And Hunters with their Mobius Quiver, Orpheus Rig, Tether, and Warlocks with their Nova Bombs do have access to those power supers. So it's really a toss-up. It's a very great competition between the two here. This is, of course, the quote, accessible LFR, as all other LFRs are curated towards endgame activities. So Reach Regret is Trials. Storm Chaser is part of the dungeon. Cataclysmic is part of Vow of the Disciple. So this is your go-to. If you don't have a very solid perk or combination of perks on other LFRs, craft this. But if you already have Cataclysmic, you've already got your God Roll Storm Chasers, we've talked about all these perks and previous weapons in previous episodes, then craft a Taipan if you want that void synergy, but it's not an ultimate you know, you must craft this right now. So yeah, Taipan, still a very solid choice. Overall, if you want that supreme cherry on top LFR, you will be aiming for Cataclysmic. There has been various videos, you know, content creators have been posting a lot of conjecture related to, you know, combination of Reed's Regret, Cataclysmic, Storm Chaser, and Taipan. And there's been some interesting discoveries, but I wouldn't really say they're accurate. Cataclysmic with four times the charm, and Fire and Line is still the really, you know, supreme choice for LFRs. But this is still a strong choice, just as Storm Chaser and Reach of Crit are. All right, well, that wraps things up for the weapons. Before we wrap things up, I'm going to drop a little question here and say, what weapons out of the ones that we've covered are we chasing? I will start us off. Out of Bounds, the one that I covered earlier on. I do want to get a really solid Golden Tricorn demo roll. And Yesteryear, Impetus, I do want... you know, I want a Yesteryear, but I also don't want to play Gambit.
Oh my gosh, come on.
But yeah, some solid perks here for Yesteryear. Solid weapons all around. Impetus, what are you thinking? What are you going for?
Yeah, I've actually, of this group, I've gotten everything that I wanted. I do have the demo Golden Tricorn out of bounds. you know, I've already got the Outlaw Desperado Yesteryear and the Ambitious Assassin Golden Tricorn roll. It's fantastic. I recommend both of them. I've deleted every Pure Poetry I've gotten. I've deleted every Boudica I've ever gotten. So I really, you know, I think I'm in a pretty good spot. No, I'm just messing.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm debating about Incandescent on the Amit. That's kind of the one that I still have. I'm up for debate on. Pizzicato, I want to get a PvP roll of that in particular, but I have stats for all one for all my craft, and I love it. It's great, but I'm debating between that and the Callous Mini Tool, just because I know that Callous Mini Tool shreds with Incandescent. So really, really not sure. If any buffs come to auto rifles, I might reconsider. But I think right now I'm probably just going to stick for the stats one for all and have that as my really solid solar auto rifle for PvE, you know?
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. I've used Battler, right, and Mini Tool and Zowie's Bane all have Incandescent. So I just went for Sofa on the Amit. I haven't used the Taipan much because I'm just like super invested on my quad Fontamite stasis build with Reeds, but that's the only reason I honestly haven't touched Taipan yet. That is a just absolute hit of a weapon. And I mean, on the other ones, I really want a Subsistence and Golden Tricorn on the Out of Bounds, just because of the way that it, like, that kind of perpetuates itself and you get that 50% going and you can just like absolutely chew on enemies. So yeah, that thing is very enticing. The Boudica and the Pizzicato, I'm really only considering for Crucible usage, but something like Ensemble and Multi-Kill Clip that I mentioned earlier is something I'm definitely interested in using in the Crucible, just because I'm a big-time SMG and Sniper kind of combo guy when it comes to the Crucible, and this thing has a lot of, you know, pretty decent range for a high rate of fire SMG, and I just have not really used an adaptive in the Crucible much, so I'm probably going to focus one of those guys to throw into a nice sniper loadout. And then other than that, yeah, I don't know about maybe Boudica once that full auto, you know, comes into the game. I may go back to using sidearms, but I just don't like the idea that I have to use the mod on that.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Yeah, that's, our views may change once we get the full auto thing. Just before I mentioned Cataclysmic and I said Fireline, I actually meant to say Bait and Switch, because I know people are going to correct me on that when I mentioned Cataclysmic.
Yeah, but I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but it is really cool to see them taking a weapon like Reed's Regret that's like, okay, it's been really good. It's been in the game for a while now, and that's very apparent. Why not make it a craftable weapon and lower its barrier to access for like good DPS?
I do like the choice now. You have a choice between Void subclass synergy, not as easy to spawn void wells. I mean, it you can, like, it's not difficult, but compared to stasis interaction, mm-hmm. Reach Regret's still going to be a really top choice. I know you've mentioned Saint before, and I've been running as well in Kingsfall runs with the 4 Font of Might and Elemental Time Dilation.
You get that Supreme Wellmaker on the Warlock, and boom, you're 50% damage buff for the whole DPS phase.
It's so good.
So that's why I'm like, you know, why not give it to people and have it be, you know, 90% is good. Oh, you want the last little bit of damage? You got to go grind some trials, you know, but you can get 90% of the way there just in the sandbox or whatever, which, yeah, that feels good. You know, it feels like a good balance of loot and incentive. But yeah, some interesting guns, you know, some meta picks, some not so meta picks, but all in all, pretty good group of weapons here. That is all that we have for episode 33. Thank you to everybody for listening in, and thank you to our audio engineer, Mr. Sutton, for helping us sound great each and every episode. My name has been Sink Beer. You can find me by that name on Discord, Twitter, run around in the Cosmodrone. Impetus, where can the listeners find you?
My name is Impetus. You can find me by that title on Discord and in Destiny, and as Impetus always on Twitter and Twitch. Looking forward to the rest of the season, grinding out some weapons, still acquiring a few more things. Court, where can we find you?
Yep, you can find me over on Twitter as @CourtProjects. You can find me on the various Discord servers as Court, and you can find my documentation and other documentation and applications to enhance your Destiny experience over on the Massive Breakdowns website. All right, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one.